Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking Newspaper for the week ending Saturday, 7th of June, 2025. The news this week is brought to you by Team 2. This is Rod, and your other readers are Jenny, Kevin and Jane. The editor this week is Mary. Our sponsors this week are Knox Cropper LLP. They provide expertise across the full range of accountancy services, including taxation, VAT, audit and assurance, governance and compliance. They're based in Apsley. Contact them on telephone 218 309 or website knoxcropper.com. Most of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berk Hempstead and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442 unless stated otherwise. The headlines this week are anti-spitting rule is set to continue, new mayor for the borough, leisure centre plans could be scrapped, 20 years of excellence for hospital service. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, this is Jenny. A public space protection order, PSPO, preventing people from spitting in Hemel Hempstead Town Centre, is set to be extended. Decorum Borough Council's Strategy, Planning and Environment Committee was set to meet after this paper went to press to consider extending the ban for a further 3 years. Under the terms of the order, people cannot spit, urinate or defecate in the town centre, and also cannot cycle, skateboard or use an electric scooter. The order came into force in 2019, but is set to expire in July. A public consultation found that 89% of respondents wanted to retain the ban on spitting, while 65% wanted to keep the ban on cycling and skateboarding. 25% said they were against the ban on cycling. 41% believed the public space protection order had had a positive impact on the town centre. Council officers said renewal should take place as planned to ensure existing enforcement powers are maintained. A small change to allow the approach of the PSPO area by cycling can be considered as part of the renewal process with a simple change of the PSPO area map. This can simplify the approach in the town centre by bike and can eliminate confusion about the prohibition. There is expected to be a slight change to the area where cycling is banned to ensure cyclists can reach the racks near Primark without having to get off their bicycle. Councillors will also consider whether to extend a public space protection order on dog fouling, with an existing ban covering all of Decorum set to be extended to include National Trust land at the Astridge Estate. A report prepared for the councillors said, the National Trust Astridge Estate have been in discussion with Decorum Borough Council and have expressed an interest in extending the fouling element of the PSPO to incorporate their land at Astridge. This is due to damage from dog fouling to the Chilterns Beechwood Special Area of Conservation. This is part of the mitigation strategy to protect this area from further damage.
Hello, this is Kevin. Decorum Borough Council have confirmed its new mayor to serve the borough for the next 12 months. Councillor Catherine McCarravey has been appointed as the new Decorum mayor. She's been described as an advocate for supporting people and promoting community services. A spokesman for the Decorum Borough Council said, during her years, she is keen to encourage community togetherness, unity and inclusion. She is keen to reduce loneliness in the borough and hopes to spend time visiting local nursing homes and residential homes. She is keen to continue to promote the health of the community by highlighting health events such as the Healthy Hubs and working with faith leaders to promote healthy initiatives. Decorum Borough Council have revealed that Councillor McCarravey was born in Manchester and moved to Hemel Hempstead when she was 7 years old. She attended Loretto College in St Albans and raised her two daughters in the town. It has also been revealed that she was the first person in Decorum to sign up for the Millennium Volunteer Scheme. A spokesman for the council added, she is particularly well known for her commitment to domestic abuse services. She was a volunteer for the Hertfordshire Domestic Abuse Helpline and went on to set up the helpline as a charity and chaired it for 5 years. The helpline has subsequently been awarded the Queen's Award for Voluntary Services. She worked for Community Action Decorum as a domestic abuse coordinator and supported the development of many projects in the area, for example, the Freedom Project and Cherished, which are groups providing support for victims of domestic abuse. They also revealed that Councillor McCarvey has raised £250,000 for Hertfordshire Domestic Abuse Services. In her professional life, she trained as a nurse at Hemel Hempstead Hospital and worked at the facility's intensive care unit until it closed. She now works as a specialist public health nurse visiting families in their homes. She has also worked as a forensic nurse examiner supporting victims of sexual violence. She will continue to work as a nurse during her 12-month term as mayor, Decorum Borough Council has revealed.
Hello, this is Jane. Plans for a new leisure centre in Berkhamsted look set to be abandoned by Decorum Borough Council, despite almost £1.5 million already having been allocated for drawing up proposals. Between 2020 and 2022, the previous Conservative administration allocated £1.46 million for four separate stages of a feasibility study for a new centre, and a public consultation was carried out. But a report drawn up for the current Liberal Democrat minority administration says that the estimated £40 million cost for the new centre is unaffordable and led the authority to reconsider and explore the option of investment in the existing estate. A paper prepared ahead of a committee meeting set to be held on Tuesday, after this paper went to press, outlined a new plan for the council to instead spend £25 million refurbishing the existing Berkhamsted and Hemel Hempstead leisure centres. The committee will provide feedback on the proposals before they go to the council's cabinet, with a spokesperson saying a formal decision would be made in July. If they go ahead, around £14.65 million will be spent improving Hemel Hempstead Leisure Centre and £4.69 million spent refurbishing Berkhamsted Leisure Centre. Project management costs could reach up to a further £2 million.
To continue, the project could include improving all pool changing areas, retiling swimming pool tanks, remodelling the reception and cafe areas, replacing the flooring in the sports halls and adding new fun water areas and flumes at Hemel Hempstead. The council has allocated £28 million in its medium-term financing strategy for leisure centre works. Council officers said uncertainty around optimum site location, acquisition costs and inflationary pressures mean there is no longer enough funding for a new Berkhamsted leisure centre. They added that a variety of potential schemes for the new centre had been looked at, with the most recent coming in February 2024, 2 years after a public consultation was held, asking residents for their views on the proposed new centre. Independent building surveys have shown that even simply maintaining and repairing the existing leisure centres would not be cheap, equating to a cost of £4.2 million over the next 5 years. But council officers warned it is unlikely that Decorum Borough Council would be able to secure a similar management fee arrangement by a future operator without significant levels of investment in the leisure facilities. The centres, which currently see around 1 million visits a year, are operated by Everyone Active.
To conclude, Everyone Active have requested that key income activities are kept open for the duration of the project, or as long as possible to minimise loss of income and, more importantly, loss of membership. Council officers suggested that at Hemel Hempstead, for example, gym equipment could be moved into the sports hall while works were carried out on the gym itself, and pool closures could be combined to ensure there were always some pools available to members. The council report said this approach will minimise disruption and allow the council to maintain a level of service to residents/users whilst letting the management company remain open and generate income from gym, swim and classes. As the programme is still in the planning phase, there is not yet certainty about the sequence of closures or how long each closure would need to last. It is assumed that only one centre will be closed at one time, and centre closures will be kept to a minimum. Most works would take place in 2026/27, with an expected completion date in 2027/28. When asked, a Dacorum Borough Council spokesperson declined to provide the full amount spent by the authority on investigating options for a new Berkhamsted Leisure Centre.
Launching one of the first bowel cancer screening services to run from a district general hospital is just one achievement being celebrated by an NHS endoscopy service as it marks a 20-year anniversary this May. The endoscopy services at Hemel Hempstead Hospital moved to a newly renovated state-of-the-art location in 2005 and have since gone from strength to strength. The service provides tests which uses cameras to visualise the digestive tract to assess and diagnose several gastrointestinal conditions. The Hemel Endoscopy Service, which operates alongside a service delivered at Watford General Hospital, is also the main site for West Hart's Teaching Hospital's NHS Trust Bowel Cancer Screening Service. The Bowel Cancer Screening Service started nationally at a few pilot sites in 2006, with West Hart's service starting soon after in 2008. Since then, it has expanded to include more age groups within the local population. Over the past 20 years, ongoing investment in the service, staff and equipment has driven up the quality of the procedures and improved patient experience. Over half of diagnostic procedures and assessments are performed by 8 highly skilled nurse endoscopists, freeing up consultants' time for more complex cases. Dr. Alistair King, consultant gastroenterologist and lead for the service, said, "The transformation of our endoscopy services over the past 20 years has been truly remarkable, and I am proud to be part of this amazing team of healthcare professionals."
Specialist nurses also manage a telephone assessment service, improving speed of access to treatment for patients, assessing patient suitability for endoscopic tests, as well as ensuring a rapid review of results. Thanks to these improvements, the Trust is meeting increasingly robust diagnostic waiting list targets, with many patients initially triaged within a week, despite a 6.5% year-on-year increase on endoscopy demand. West Hart's endoscopy service at both Hemel Hempstead and Watford has also maintained national accreditation from the Joint Advisory Group in Endoscopy, also known as JAG, since 2007. This accreditation is awarded to endoscopy services that meet nationally agreed quality and safety standards. In recent years, the department has been approved as a national JAG training centre, delivering a variety of courses across both sites. It is also one of the sites for the East of England Training Academy, accommodating up to 15 trainees at any one time, including accelerated immersive training. Trainees include gastroenterology and surgical doctors training in different endoscopic procedures, including complex therapeutic techniques. The service is supported by a skilled and expanding administrative team and a team of endoscopy nurses who are experts in providing safe and compassionate care. Joanne Sparrow, senior sister for the Hemel Endoscopy Unit, said, "Endoscopy is a fast-paced environment. It's our teamwork that makes excellence possible. Every member of our team plays a vital role in ensuring patients receive safe, efficient and compassionate care."
Divine Saviour Primary School in Abbots Langley welcomed a special visitor early in May as Gagan Mahindra, MP for the South West Hertfordshire, joined pupils in a session of Ferrero's Social Responsibility Programme, Joy of Moving. The unique programme is designed to inspire children to develop a love for movement through play. Ferrero's accessed the Joy Report, recently commissioned to celebrate the programme 10th anniversary in the UK, revealed 77% of parents are looking to schools for help in getting their children more active. The Joy of Moving programme offers an approach that combines fun and exercise to help children develop physical fitness, motor coordination, cognitive functions and life skills. Over the past decade, Joy of Moving has reached more than 600,000 children in across the UK and has provided over 3 million hours of activity to schools nationwide. The unbranded programme, delivered in partnership with the English Football League's charitable arm, EFL, in the community and its network of football club charities, is based on a unique play-based methodology that puts the child at the centre. During the visit to Divine Saviour Primary School, Gagan Mahindra MP joined a session led by the Watford FC Community Sports and Education Trust, which showcased how the programme helps local children enjoy being active while learning through play. Reflecting on his visit, Gagan Mahindra MP said, "It was fantastic to see the Joy of Moving programme in action at Divine Saviour. The netball style game really got the children moving and working together as a team. What stands out most about this programme is that it isn't just about physical activity. The pupils are also in the classroom learning about healthy eating. I really enjoyed chatting with the children and seeing their faces light up as they played the games. Across the UK, children aren't getting active enough, so programmes like Joy of Moving are vital. It's great to see practical, engaging lessons that can build good habits for life."
Rennie Grove Peace Hospice Care is calling on the Berkhamsted community to make space in their wardrobes and help fund specialist nursing care by taking part in its Bags That Matter campaign. The initiative launches on Thursday, 12th June, with a special donation drop-off event in the Waitrose Berkhamsted car park, running from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Locals are encouraged to fill a bag with quality clothing and bring it to the charity's branded van, which will be parked on site, ready to receive the donations. Rennie Grove Peace supports people within Hertfordshire and Buckinghamshire with life-limiting illnesses. As a charity, it receives only 14% of its funding from statutory sources. One full van of donated clothing could help fund a specialist nurse for over a month, making every item donated truly matter. Nicola Flood, head of buying and operations at Rennie Grove Peace, said, "We're excited to launch the Bags That Matter campaign and bring it to Berkhamsted first. Every bag of quality clothing helps us generate vital funds to support patients and families who rely on our care. We hope the people of Berkhamsted will rally behind us and fill the van, so that we can continue to support people within the community. Bags can be picked up in advance from Waitrose Berkhamsted, or directly from the Rennie Grove Peace Team at the van on the day, or donors can use their own bags. To find your nearest Rennie Grove Peace shop or learn about the campaign, visit renniegrovepeace.org.
Sarah Roberts from Hemel Hempstead is a grandmother and global record holder. She's the fastest over 75 woman in history. She started running aged 67 when she was introduced to park run while on holiday with her husband George in Cape Town in 2017. She now holds a series of world records. When we came home, George and I decided to run the local park run, and that was the start of my running. Before that, my main exercise was going to the gym. I really liked gym classes. In 2019, Sarah joined the Decorum Runners, and she reveals her times for races up to 10k distance have improved ever since. Since her birthday last October, she has swept the board of 75 plus world records over every track distance, from 8,000 metres to 10,000 metres indoors, and 5k and 10k on the road. Last weekend, she added a mile and 10k world records to her bulging haul, despite less than 90 minutes between races. She said, "I'm amazed, really. I could always run for a bus, but I never thought I would ever be anywhere near the best in the world."
One in six children in Hertfordshire have visible tooth decay by the age of five, and in some areas of the county, it affects more than one in four. On Wednesday last week, a meeting of the County Council's Public Health and Community Safety Cabinet panel will be presented with the data as part of an overview of the county's oral health programme. According to the data, almost 17% of five-year-olds across the county have visible tooth decay. And, says the report, in the period from 2021 to 22 to 2023-24, there were 280 hospital admissions of children aged five or under for the treatment of tooth decay, which is also referred to as dental caries or cavities. The rate of decay highlighted in the report also shows significant variation across the county, with poorer outcomes seen in the most deprived areas of Hertfordshire. In Broxbourne, 24.6% of five-year-olds, that's equivalent to around one in four, were found to have visible tooth decay, according to the report. In Welling Hatfield, it was 17.4%, and in Watford, it was 16.6%. But in other areas, the proportion was found to be significantly lower, with 7.2% in North Harts, equivalent to almost one in every 14 five-year-olds, and in East Harts, the proportion was reported to be 9.2%.
To continue, according to the report, tooth decay is preventable, and poor oral health, it says, can be a sign of poor diet, dental neglect, and sometimes a sign of wider safeguarding concerns. In response, the report highlights a number of services commissioned by the Council's public health team to promote good oral health. They include the Healthy Mouths programme, which distributes oral health packs to under fives in areas with the poorest oral health. They include pop-up clinics staffed by a dentist and a dental nurse that screen children's teeth, as well as offering free toothbrushes, toothpaste, and an application of fluoride varnish. And they include a targeted primary school oral health screening pilot, where children in reception classes are offered oral screening and an application of fluoride varnish. Meanwhile, schools are also receiving training and support to provide a supervised toothbrushing programme. In addition, the report that will be presented to councillors also points to clear links between poor oral health and child obesity, and it suggests that many of the risk factors are the same.
15 new homes can be built in Redbourne to help recreation centre improvements go ahead, a council planning committee has decided. The St Albans City and District Council's planning committee voted unanimously in favour of three linked planning applications for two small housing developments and improvements to Redbourne Recreation Centre. Under the plans, the centre will be able to build a new sports hall and add a new floodlit 3G football pitch as well as new cricket nets. It will also gain a first floor extension with a roof terrace. The project is a joint venture between Redbourne Recreation Centre and Plainfields Trust and Jarvis Homes Limited. A legal agreement will tie together the three separate applications and ensure that £1.78 million is given from Jarvis Homes to the Trust for the Recreation Centre improvements. Chris Renwick, Chairman of Redbourne Recreation Centre and Plainfields Trust, told the Council's Planning Committee, "The centre has suffered from a chronic lack of investment and the facilities are tired, badly in need of proper maintenance and out of step with the needs of our modern and growing community. This redevelopment is a once-in-a-generation opportunity to ensure the financial viability of the centre and create new facilities that local people have been wanting for many years. The centre has been greatly impacted financially since COVID. Pre-COVID, for example, we had over 600 gym members. Post-COVID, the number is still under 400, depriving the centre of much-needed revenue. This is due in part to huge investment in other local facilities, such as at Harpenden Leisure Centre. Groups and clubs relying on the delivery of these facilities include Redbourne Bowls Club, Redbourne Cricket Club, Harpenden Colts, Redbourne Rovers Football Club, PSA Sports College Programme, Redbourne Kites Netball Team, Hertfordshire Cricket, Harpenden Squash Club, Hearts Table Tennis Club, CAADI Gymnastics Club, Hearts Badminton, St Luke's School and many others. To be continued."
And to continue that story, the Trust aims to provide a wide range of sporting and leisure facilities for residents of all ages and demographics in Redbourne and the surrounding areas, helping them to lead healthy, active and social lives. "We can only achieve those aims with this redevelopment. To provide these facilities requires money. With local authorities, Sports England and sports governing bodies suffering from a lack of funding, this unique partnership with Jarvis Homes allows us to provide these facilities at no cost to the local authority or the community. While the recreation centre and housing sites are within the Green Belt, they are now classed as Grey Belt land because council officers believe they do not strongly contribute to the relevant Green Belt purposes, including restricting sprawl and preventing towns merging into one another. While the two housing developments will mean some public open space is lost, planning officers deemed the loss would be outweighed by the benefits of the new centre facilities. Council officers said the plans would include facilities for the local squash club, which is losing its current facilities, and would improve capacity for currently oversubscribed exercise classes. The new sports hall, built on what is currently the car park, will be in addition to the existing sports centre, which will be connected to the new hall. A total of 116 car parking spaces will be provided, 34 more than the existing number. 9 homes will be built between Datalogic House and the recreation centre to the west of Dunstable Road, and 6 will be built on land between Stoneleigh and St Luke's School to the north of Black Horse Lane."
Dementia specialist Admiral Nurses will host clinics at Nationwide's Stevenage, Hemel Hempstead and Watford branches to offer tailored support and guidance to anyone affected by the condition. Nationwide and Dementia UK's free face-to-face clinics are returning to Nationwide branches in Stevenage, Hemel Hempstead and Watford this June, offering specialist support in a safe, comfortable and private space for people to discuss any aspect of dementia. Hosted by Dementia UK's Admiral Nurses, the clinics are open to anyone impacted by dementia, offering life-changing support to families and individuals in the area. The clinics will take place over the next month and appointments can be booked via dementiauk.org/information-and-support. The clinics will offer practical and emotional advice on all aspects of dementia, from worries about memory problems, understanding a diagnosis, and how the condition can progress to help with the financial and legal issues. The clinics in Hertfordshire are part of the nationwide social impact programme, Fairer Futures, which addresses four of the UK's biggest social issues through charity partnerships: family poverty, Action for Children, youth homelessness, Centrepoint, dementia, Dementia UK, and cancer, the Royal Marsden Cancer Charity. Nationwide is funding 30 dementia specialist Admiral nurse posts through Dementia UK and is hosting 200 pop-up clinics in branches across the country. The clinics will visit Stevenage, 21 Queensway, on the 9th, 10th and 13th of June. Hemel Hempstead, Unit C1 at Riverside Shopping Centre, on the 16th, 17th and 20th of June, and Watford, 80 the Parade, on the 23rd, 24th and 27th of June.
Police officers are investigating a road rage altercation reported by a garage in Hemel Hempstead. At around 1 p.m. on May the 20th, two individuals started arguing near to the Asda Express fuel station on Redbourne Road. According to witnesses' reports, the driver of a blue Tesla was involved in an increasingly tense altercation with a driver of a silver Vauxhall Astra. It has been reported that they were arguing about the quality of the Astra driver's driving. They were seen arguing by the side of the road when one of the drivers allegedly spat through the window of the other car. PC Lee Rosen said, "I am appealing to anyone who may have witnessed this incident to take place to contact me at crime reference number 41/46280/25. I can be contacted via email at lee.rosen@hearts.police.uk. Information can also be reported to the police force online via its web chat or by calling the non-emergency number 101. People can report information anonymously via Crime Stoppers online or by calling 0800 555 111.
Cardo, a leading provider of high quality building maintenance and refit services for social housing and public sector buildings, has supported the Collett School, Hemel Hempstead, in transforming the school's sensory garden, creating a vibrant and stimulating outdoor space for students with special educational needs. The project saw volunteers from Cardo and school staff with extra support from BAM Construction come together for a day of hands-on improvements. These included planting a variety of greenery to stimulate sight, touch and smell, and revitalising the pergola and outdoor furniture with fresh coats of paint and wood stain to create an inviting outdoor space. Bird boxes, feeders and bug hotels were fixed to trees, and a hedgehog house was provided to encourage local wildlife. Materials for the project were purchased by Cardo and included gravel, tools, wheelbarrows and wood stain. Cardo also purchased plants from nearby Sunnyside Rural Trust and provided lunch for all the volunteers. Funding from the Hemel Lions provided the new bird houses, bug hotels, wall accessories, bunting and decorations. The Collett School even arranged for the Blue Tangerine Cafe horse box to be available on site, offering complimentary hot and cold drinks to all involved. The project was such a success, and we've had lots of lovely comments from the teachers. We were the dream team. Thank you to Cardo for all the hard work. It all came together beautifully, said Heather Coughlan, fundraising assistant at the Collett School. James Cook, managing director for Cardo, South and Central, said community support is central to our culture at Cardo, and supporting communities like those at the Collett School is part of our commitment to creating lasting impact in the areas we serve. We recognise the difference the Collett School makes in the lives of children and families through its specialist learning support. It's a privilege to support organisations that share our values and strengthen local communities.
The Marlow Shopping Centre marked Dementia Action Week on Monday the 19th of May with a free informative event, free for the community to attend. Guests and retailers came together at the community hub to take part in a series of interactive experiences designed to stimulate the daily challenges faced by people living with dementia. The hub, which is home to the monthly coffee mornings in partnership with the Alzheimer Society, saw dementia advisors attend to provide information and advice to anyone with concerns regarding dementia. For Dementia Action Week, there were additional hands-on tasks which invited participants to step into the shoes of those living with cognitive and physical impairments, sparking meaningful conversations and building greater empathy across the community. Many attendees and passers-by took part in the mirror drawing challenge, attempting to trace a star while only looking through a mirror, to offer a glimpse into the disorientation. Dexterity tests, wearing thick gloves to stimulate how loss of fine motor skills can make simple tasks overwhelming, and blurred vision simulation, special glasses distorting participants' vision to have an impact on confidence and independence. The task proved challenging for many and reflected how eye-opening the activities were. The day's activities were part of the Marlowe's ongoing commitment to supporting dementia awareness. Anyone who missed out is encouraged to come along to the monthly coffee mornings held on the first Wednesday of each month from 10 a.m. to lunchtime to speak to the dementia advisors from the charity to access information and find support for themselves or for loved ones. Adding to the community spirit surrounding Dementia Awareness Week, the Marlowe's were thrilled to receive hand-knitted donations of forget-me-not flowers to decorate the bench in the South Mall, acting as a poignant symbol of solidarity for those affected by dementia and Alzheimer's. Shoppers are encouraged to take a moment of reflection on the bench on their next visit to the centre. Finally, to further extend their support, the Marlowe's team also dropped off donations to Mountbatten Care Home, strengthening their ties with the local care providers and care home residents and making a positive impact in the lives of those affected.
A Luton man has been arrested and remains in custody after a man in his 20s was killed in a collision on the M1 near Hemel Hempstead. Police are appealing for witnesses, information and dash cam footage following the fatal crash at around 4:30 p.m. on Friday, May the 30th, near the slip road at Junction 8. A silver Vauxhall van and a silver Chevrolet were both on the southbound hard shoulder when they were reportedly involved in a collision with a silver Saab. The driver of the van, a man aged in his 20s who was stood outside the vehicle, sustained serious injuries and sadly died at the scene. His next of kin have been identified and are being supported by officers. A 58-year-old man from Luton was arrested on suspicion of causing death by dangerous driving, driving while unfit through drink or drugs, and failing to stop at the scene of a collision. He remains in custody at this time. Detective Sergeant Ben Heath from the Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire and Hertfordshire Serious Collision Investigation Unit said, "Our thoughts are with the man's loved ones at this difficult time. Our inquiries are continuing and I'm appealing for anyone with information to please come forward. Did you see what happened or witness anything before the collision? If you have dash cam footage that you believe could be helpful to our investigation, please upload this via our website. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the public for their patience whilst we put road closures in place. You can report information online, speak to an operator in the Forces Communications Room via the online web chat, or call the non-emergency number 101, quoting Op Low Light. Alternatively, you can stay 100% anonymous by contacting the independent charity Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111.
This week in history. June the 7th, 1970, The Who's opera Tommy was performed at New York's Metropolitan Opera House. June the 8th, 1969, Spain closed the frontier with Gibraltar, hoping to cripple its economy after Britain's refusal to hand over the colony to Spain. On this day last year, Israel said it had rescued four hostages who were kidnapped in a Hamas-led attack on October the 7th, in the largest hostage recovery operation since the war with the militant group began in Gaza. June the 9th, 1991, the £100 million, two-mile, four-lane Dartford Bridge in East London was completed. On this day last year, Dr. Claire Bailey Mosley confirmed her husband, TV doctor and columnist Michael Mosley, was found dead on the Greek island of Symi, adding that the news was devastating. June the 10th, 1983, Margaret Thatcher won her second term as Prime Minister. June the 11th, 1975, the first oil was piped ashore from the North Sea Argyle oil fields. On this day last year, US President Joe Biden said he would accept the outcome of his son Hunter's criminal case and respect the judicial process. Hunter Biden was convicted of all three felony charges related to the purchase of a revolver in 2018, when prosecutors argued the US president's son lied on a mandatory gun purchase form by saying he was not illegally using or addicted to drugs.
Now we come to the information slot. This is followed by the obituaries, what's on, and more news items.
This next article is a double act with Jane and I, so bear with us. Living with macular disease can be frustrating, but with the right guidance and support, people can cope very well. The Macular Society services can give you the tools to learn more about your condition and help maintain your independence. The Macular Society can help you make the best use of your professional peripheral vision.
What is Skills for Seeing?
One-to-one advice on how to make best use of the vision you have to continue doing the things you love, combining vision know-how, magnification, lighting, and where it works for you, eccentric viewing and steady eye strategy techniques.
Who is it for?
Anyone losing their central vision because of a macular condition, including age-related macular degeneration, AMD, particularly in later stages.
Two-part programme.
Divided into two parts, everyone can benefit from the first session, learning the skills and knowledge to help you maintain your condition better. Part two covers eccentric viewing and steady eye strategy. But not everyone chooses to do this. It very much depends on your individual circumstances.
What is eccentric viewing?
As the macula changes, some parts will be more effective than others. Macular Society volunteers help you find your point of best vision and teach you how to use it. You may find you need to look away from an object, looking off-centre to see it more clearly. It takes time and practice to perfect the skills, but it has helped people to continue to read and carry on with their other tasks that require a degree of detail.
What is steady eye strategy?
Steady eye strategy involves keeping your eyes still and moving the text through the best part of your vision, which can help you read faster and more accurately. This technique can take longer to learn than eccentric viewing, but it is particularly useful for people who have a very small part of central vision which is still clear.
How can I make it work for me?
Sessions can be delivered in a number of ways at no cost to you. The service can be provided over the telephone or digitally by trained staff or volunteers on a one-to-one basis, with resource packs available to assist where needed. You can also assess the Macular Society's online training programme for more information about skills for seeing and for free one-to-one coaching in these techniques. Please call the Macular Society helpline on 0300 303011.
The obituaries in the Gazette this week are Sheila Clara Barley of Langley House, Berkhamsted, died at Watford General Hospital on Friday, 16th of May, 2025, aged 90 years. The funeral to be on Wednesday, 18th of June at 11:30 a.m. at Hemel Hempstead Crematorium. Sheila would like attendees to wear bright clothes, please. Jennifer, Jenny Maxwell of Edlesborough, passed away suddenly on Sunday the 25th of May 2025, aged 74 years. Funeral service to take place at West Harts Crematorium, South Chapel, on Thursday 19th of June at 12 noon. May they rest in peace.
What's on? Theatre at the Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead. National Theatre Live presents A Streetcar Named Desire by Tennessee Williams on Tuesday, 10th of June at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. As Blanche's fragile world crumbles, she turns to her sister Stella for solace, but her downward spiral brings her face to face with the brutal, unforgiving Stanley Kowalski. From visionary director Benedict Andrews, this acclaimed production was filmed live during a sold-out run at the Young Vic Theatre in 2014. Tickets are £15 and it lasts for 3 hours. For tickets, contact online at oldtownhall.co.uk or you can email othboxoffice@decorum.gov.uk or you can phone 228091.
Alternatively, at the Denby Theatre in Tring, Alice Adventures in Wonderland. Join the talented Key Stage 3 students of Tring School as they bring Lewis Carroll's enchanting tale, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, to life in a magical stage production. 18th and 19th of June, tickets are £9. It's a running time of about an hour with no interval. Age rating is it suitable for all ages. For tickets, contact the denbytheatre.org.
Music, live at the Old Town Hall in the Cellar Club. Thursday the 12th of June at 8 p.m, calling all music lovers, join in for an electrifying night of local talent at the Old Town Hall, brought to you by the multi-award-winning Juice Box Live. Decorum's finest musicians take to the stage, showcasing their original sounds and igniting energy. This is your chance to witness the next big thing and discover your new favourite band right here in your own backyard. Launched in 2021, this popular event is a haven for local artists and a guaranteed night of fresh music discovery. There are two acts. The first, Steve Warner, a local singer-songwriter and folk musician from Hertfordshire, and then Darcy Louch, a Hertfordshire singer-songwriter blending soul, R&B and modern pop with a nostalgic twist. With heartfelt vocals and timeless influences, she brings her own raw edge and charm to every track. Offstage, Darcy is an assistant head at a special educational needs school, an everyday reminder of the compassion and depth that fuel her music. For tickets, contact theoldtownhall.co.uk or email othboxoffice@decorum.gov.uk or phone 228091.
Films at the Cineworld Cinema this week include Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, an action film, Lilo and Stitch, a comedy, Ballerina, an action film, How to Train Your Dragon, an action film, The Salt Path, a drama, Final Destination's Bloodlines, a drama stroke horror film, Karate Kids, Legends, an action stroke drama film, Clown in a Cornfield, a horror film, The Ballad of Wallace Island, a comedy drama, Dangerous Animals, a holiday film, a horror film, Sinners, a drama horror film, The Phoenician Scheme, a comedy. All popular films are provided to cinemas with an audio description track. Please mention your requirements at the time of booking.
The Great Big Green Week. Welcome to the UK's Great Big Green Week 2025, when a million people will come together to be part of a wave of actions for friends and family, climate and nature. The Great Big Green Week is the UK's biggest celebration of community action to tackle climate change and protect nature. This year, Berkhamsted and Tring are joining together to bring you a programme of events and activities from 7th to 15th of June. There are some fantastic events coming up during Berkhamsted and Tring's Great Big Green Week. For more details about all these events and lots more, visit the Berkhamsted and Tring's page of the Great Big Green Week website or sustainabletring.org.uk. New events are being added all the time, so keep checking back. The theme for Great Big Green Week 2025 is Let's Swap Together for Good. We can all make small swaps, large swaps, and swaps that change the system to make our communities better. By coming together, we'll also send a message loud and clear to our politicians and decision makers that we need to swap old ways for better ways now.
There's some more dates for your diary. Tring Farmers Market on Saturday the 14th of June in the High Street Tring from 9am to 12:30. Tring Lions Club Charity Car Boot Sale Saturday the 14th of June, Market Square, Brook Street Tring. Set up at 9am, public access at 10am. Contact 07833 158090 or email info@tringlions.org.uk or visit their website tringlions.org.uk. Berkhamsted Farmers Market on Sunday the 15th of June, High Street, Berkhamsted from 10am to 2pm.
A vibrant collection of Decorum's arts, culture and heritage, funded by the UK Shared Prosperity Fund, is on until the 29th of June. Creative and heritage organisations across the borough of Decorum will provide an exciting programme of events and activities. This will include performances, exhibitions, concerts, workshops and more. There's something for everyone to enjoy. The Decorum Creative Showcase is a great chance to explore local heritage, get involved in creative activities, connect with your community, and celebrate Decorum's vibrant cultural scene. To find out what's on, organisations involved in the showcase will be adding details about their events to the events calendar. Check back regularly for updates on decorum.gov.uk. decorum.gov.uk.
Vocal Eyes suggests some future dates. Join the International Festival in Milton Keynes for 10 amazing days from Friday 18th to Sunday the 27th of July. The festival takes place every 2 years and we're excited to be back providing audio description to the festival's artworks and events. Produced by The Stables, the festival is designed to encourage residents and visitors to see a different side to Milton Keynes. The world-class multi-arts festival programme includes new commissions, site-specific and community participation projects, large-scale outdoor and family events, concerts, theatre, dance, music and visual arts installations. Other shows suitable for blind and visually impaired audience. Please see the audio described guide coming soon to the Milton Keynes International Festival access pages. For more information about the festival, please visit ifmiltonkeynes.org.
The Age of AI is a contemporary exhibition running currently and until next year at Bletchley Park, situated in Block A. It is an interactive experience with variable light levels, projections and sound. The exhibition looks at how artificial intelligence, AI, is rapidly developing and is already a part of our day-to-day lives. It also explores the history of AI and its possible future. There are large print guides available to collect at the start of the exhibition. In addition, a recorded audio-described guide to this fascinating temporary exhibition is now available. The guide lasts approximately 30 minutes and is recommended to be downloaded in advance from the Bletchley Park website. Don't forget to bring your headphones to listen as you move around the exhibition. The exhibition is included in the cost of your entrance ticket, so you can also enjoy all that Bletchley Park has to offer. If you require any further information, please contact us at inquiries@bletchleypark.org.uk or phone on 01908 640 404 or bletchleypark.org.uk.
As Classic Ibiza's 10th birthday celebrations at Hatfield House on Saturday the 16th of August draw even closer, Stephen Hussey's 32-piece Urban Soul Orchestra and London Community Gospel Choir, the show's special guest, gathered in London this week to perfect the summer's show, bringing together an orchestra that's worked with many dance music greats such as Groove Armada and Robert Miles, with a choir that recorded with the likes of Madonna and Blur, promises to be a performance not to be missed. Demand for the tickets to Classic Ibiza's summer tour is high, with some venues already sold out. Classic Ibiza's at Hatfield House is proud to be supporting local charity Hearts Young Homeless. Visit classicibiza.co.uk for more information.
There is a new Deputy Chief Constable in Hertfordshire and he has bags of experience, including a major role at the London Olympics. Deputy Chief Constable Andy Mariner has joined the Hertfordshire Constabulary with an impressive CV from 28 years of experience. Andy joined the Metropolitan Police Service, MPS, back in 1997, working in a variety of policing roles. During his 2 decades in the capital, Andy was a lead in many major public events, including the Notting Hill Carnival and New Year's Eve celebrations, along with lots of Premier League football matches. In 2012, Hearts Police's new Deputy Chief Constable led the Olympic Torch Security Operation, working with police forces across the UK to ensure the torch's safe arrival in London. He moved to Essex Police for nearly 10 years and says he has now chosen to join Hearts Police because they are friendly and victim-focused and innovative. Andy, who lives in West Essex with his wife and has 5 children, says he enjoys regular gym classes and walking his dog with his family in his spare time. He joined Essex Police in 2016 as a superintendent and continued his progression through the ranks to Assistant Chief Constable. In this role, Andy was responsible for local policing in Essex, leading their approach to the new National Policing Guarantee, and also led on their approach to hate crime and engagement with children and young people. He is a specialist firearms commander, public order, and chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear and explosives commander. And he is also the National Police Chief's Council Lead for Stop and Search.
We are coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 4:45 and 21:18. Don't forget, for those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. For those who are listening to this week's news on Memory Stick, the amenities and services information follows after the final music. Please remove your Memory Stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Turn the label over and post it back to us at the Adeyfield Community Centre, the Queen's Square, Hemel Hempstead, HP24EW, using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Joe, our technician for this week.